I think it's amazing. We watched Mighty Ducks with my son not too long ago, a PG movie, and you would be amazed at all of the swearing and smoking and drinking involved in this PG movie for kids made by Disney.
Yeah, it's a lot like Soccer Chat. You think it's PG, and then you go re-listen to it, and you're like, oh, crap. My kids shouldn't be listening to my own show.
So I should put my top back on?
Well, not if we want to enjoy ourselves.
Soccer Chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga, so it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
All right. Welcome to Soccer Chat. I am Adam Bruce, one of your hosts, and joined as always with Alex Fordney. And we are very excited to bring you an all new Soccer Chat. We have a lot of great things ahead.
Once again, we want to thank the Beautiful Game Network for letting us be a part of their network. Once again, if you haven't got a chance to listen to some of the other podcasts that are available at bgn.fm, I cannot stress how good they are and it's how much it's worth your time to give some of those a listen. We, along with League One Fun, are currently the only two League One focused podcasts, but there's a lot of great USL and MLS and even a couple of foreign league podcasts out there to listen to. So when you get a chance, go out and give them a listen. Also want to mention, if you are a local business looking for an opportunity to reach, you know, people in the tens of tens, I'd come out here and give us a chance. I'm talking to you, any alcohol distributor that likes to give out alcohol as a way of paying people. We'd love to get an opportunity there. Oh, that story.
I won't endorse anything that I haven't tried.
Well, no, that's a given. And I have tried Odd Story Brewing and the Red Wolves Ale. They just announced that they're going to be doing the can release, which will be coming up on the 23rd of March. I personally am excited about it because I'm not a huge beer drinker, but I really enjoyed that beer. So I'm looking forward to being able to get it, you know, without having to be in the 21 and up only establishment, being that I have three
kids. That red ale really is a good beer for people who aren't like into the high gravity IPA brewed with essence of watermelon and elderberry. If this is just a nice, smooth, flavorful beer, it's just good stuff. So come give it a try. There's literally nothing else of consequence happening in Chattanooga on the 23rd. Just go to Odd Story and enjoy the release of the cans.
Yeah, nothing of consequence. There may be a competing team's preseason opener versus...
Well, there is a lot of youth soccer going on in town, but yeah, that's, you know.
All right. So, I want to remind you, we are Soccer Chat. We will talk things other than just Red Bulls. And there is another team here in Chattanooga that is going to be having a preseason friendly with... They refer to them as a Guatemalan powerhouse, which I think those two statements seem to contradict themselves in when it comes to
the
world of soccer.
Like the tallest building in Lafayette.
Right, exactly. But it could still be a fun night out. So if you're wanting an opportunity to go to a CSC game and you're not worried about there being a professional soccer game going at the same time, that's not a bad one to go to. The weekend after that is the Red Wolves opener in Dallas. I will not be there, but I will be watching on ESPN+. And then following that weekend on March 6th will be the first professional soccer game to be held in Chattanooga in...
April 6th.
Yeah, April 6th, March 6th. They're so close. Yeah, so April 6th is when that is.
That time change.
Woo. Yeah, it's really throwing me off. But yeah, so there's a lot coming up, to say the least. But yeah, on that 23rd, Odd Story is having the official can release for the beer, so you can take it home with you and enjoy it, or take it with you to pregame before the home opener on the 6th of April. So speaking of the Red Wolves preseason, so far there's been one official match and two college friendlies that were held here locally that were quasi-open to the public, in so much as if you showed up, they didn't kick you out type thing. Did you get a chance to go? You and I both got to go to the first one. I only got to stay for the first half. What were your impressions of it? I know you got to go to both.
Yes, got to go to both matches. March the 2nd, they played a match against Georgia State. This last Friday on the 8th, they played a match against Alabama Huntsville. The match against Georgia State was a win. I don't think it was a game that the Red Wolves themselves were incredibly happy with. They this last Friday, they were much happier. You saw a lot more sharpness. They were possessing the ball a lot more. They actually did score a lot more goals. So I still think that they're very happy with the direction of this preseason. Looking at results really doesn't help you a whole lot. I know some people are really excited about a 7-0 beatdown in a college friendly that they just had. And I would remind them that the college friendly that they played was against a Division II team that had two wins all of the fall season. Ooh, so a 7-0 win is really should be expected.
Well,
in those situations.
So we got in a little bit, you and I both, in a little bit of a Twitter discussion with one of the League One Fun podcast presenters. And I think part of it came down to he chose to go off on whether or not preseason matters. And I think I always come down onto the side of it doesn't matter. But we're talking about results when I'm talking about that. I know no one, like legitimately no one who says, no, you know what? You should be able to show up and day one have a game and nothing before that would matter. Like, no one's that stupid. Anyone who's saying that's just saying it to get under someone's skin. Like, no one thinks, oh, you get your whole team together, you show up for your first match on Saturday, and you're good to go. So I don't think anyone who says preseason doesn't matter is talking about that. What they're talking about is the results don't matter. The 7-0 win versus a 2-win Division II team, that doesn't matter. A 4-0 win versus Huntsville, Alabama doesn't matter, right?
Right. Fair point is that Alabama Huntsville also a Division II team. You know, they should beat them running away. But like I said, on the field, you saw a lot more sharpness, possessing the ball, making passes to challenge the defense. You could see they were really, really practicing what Tim Hankinson has been preaching to them in practice, what they've been working on in camp. And you can see it start to click.
Yeah.
And so that's where you look for those kind of results, and that's what you're talking about. Those are what preseason is for. That's what you're looking to see. Are you going in that direction, or are you going in a different direction where things are falling apart, people are out of shape, you know, this guy keeps getting eaten alive by, you know, whoever they're playing against?
I think for me, it's similar to the third preseason game in the NFL. That first half of the third preseason is supposed to be is this what your team's really going to look like? And I think that kind of transitions into the Louisville City preseason game. I think the first half of that Louisville City game is going to be our planned lineup, I think. And I think you're going to get an idea of this is what our team's going to look like. But that being said, we're still going to be playing against their B team.
Friday night, people are curious as to why this Louisville City match is scheduled to start at 10:45. It's a huge bummer. I'm probably going to have to miss a large portion of the first half because my son has a youth soccer game at that time. But what's going to happen to Louisville City? They're going to play at Fifth Third Bank Stadium in Kennesaw against Atlanta United 2 on Friday night. That game starts at 7:30. So somewhere around 10:30, 10:45, they're all going to get on a bus. They're going to come up 75. They're going to get into Chattanooga close to 1 o'clock and get into a hotel room and plop down. And they're all going to have to wake up again at 7 a.m. and get to the stadium to get ready for the match. So you're going to see a lot of reserves playing. But even those reserves, they're probably going to be a little groggy out there.
I do think, though, they're still the two-time defending champion for USL Championship. So you're still talking about a pretty darn good team.
And they're all young guys. They're not like us. So I'm sure they could probably, you know, fall down for a little while and hop up out of bed and get going pretty a lot quicker than you and I can.
Switching gears, looking more towards Red Bulls regular season. They're about to start the season. We're about, 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away from... No, really. 3 weeks away from opening up in Dallas. And so we're getting really close to season starting. At the same time, the U.S. Open Cup is going to be starting up. If you're Coach Hankinson and you're Sean McDaniel, where is your focus for the Red Bulls? Do you think it's more important for them to focus on the Open Cup or on the league here early in the season?
I think in this first season, it's far more important for the Red Wolves to focus on being in the top and in that league final match.
Oh, see, I go the opposite. I think if they're trying to build momentum and they're trying to build interest in the city. If you're able to get to the point where you're playing against an MLS team, that's going to get people in the seats to come watch and say, hey, how good is this team? And I think that's really important to get that buzz going as soon as possible. Now, maybe their view is we're going to wait until we have our soccer-specific stadium to do that. But I think they can't discount how important it is for them to punch above their weight, so to speak.
You look at how they've constructed the roster, the quality that they've brought in, even the players, you know, they've got more than 11 players that you would think would be starting rotation, people that are going to be getting in. While we were at the match on Friday, we were talking with the statistician for the team. He was in the press box. It was a rainy night, so they let us hide in the press box with him. We helped him spot who was making passes and crosses and all that kind of stuff. It was a real fun time talking to him. One of the things that he talked about, being at practices occasionally to do some film for the team, said that he hears Coach Hankinson talk about, just because you're starting in one match doesn't mean you're going to start in the next match. And just because you're sitting on the bench doesn't mean you're going to always be on the bench. I think they know that they need to keep things rotating and keep guys fresh because they want to pursue that U.S. Open Cup as far as they can, as well as contend for the league title. Because I don't think getting yourself into a match with an MLS team but finishing eighth in the league is still probably going to be kind of tough. I think they're building this team to be able to pursue both.
So my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, the top four teams is who makes the playoffs, correct?
Correct.
So 4 out of 10. So you've got to be better than more than 50% of the other teams. Now, I think being better than Orlando City B, Toronto, and Dallas shouldn't be that hard. But at the same time, Dallas has got some talented young players. I think all the talented young players for Orlando are on Orlando because they're young. They're young even on the MLS level. But I think so. I still discount them. So I think it's really got to be a top 4 out of 7. And right. I think if you listen to everybody, I listened to the podcast that is done, the Capital Combustion podcast, and they interviewed their coach, and they brought up Chattanooga and the quality of the team. Like, I think it's known how good the team is that they're building. So I think you're right on that end. But I just think if he has to choose between starting his best 11 for an Open Cup match, if it's 3 or 4 days before a League One game, due to the length of the season for the League One, he's going to choose the Open Cup to have the stronger team, is my guess. Now, I may end up being wrong on that, but that's what I think is going to happen. That is, at the same time, one of the advantages that we do have is our games are not like an NPSL schedule where they're all held in 4 weeks, period. They're spread out. Like, they're every Saturday, basically. I think there's one midweek game all year. So it will be a short period of time that we're dealing with the additional Open Cup game in addition to it. So
I know the window for the first Open Cup match, which will be us matched up against either a PDL or an NPSL team, is going to be the week of May 6th through 11th. So it's going to be like May 7th or 8th. They're going to play the Friday at Orlando, May 3rd. They would then host Madison May 11th. One of the other things that I've noticed about the way that the schedule sets up, when you talk about which teams people are expecting to be contenders, we get 2 home games against Madison in the first 6. We also have to play at Greenville. So those are a good chance early in the season to really pick up some points and gain momentum in the league.
So one of the things that you kind of threw out there on Twitter, speaking of Madison and speaking of some of the other teams, and I don't know if we should apologize to Richmond that they weren't involved in this at all, but you kind of included everyone except for Richmond for the non-B teams about rivalries. And you've got on here Greenville versus Tormenta. That seems to be one that everyone's pushing. Madison-Lansing, everyone's pushing. My personal favorite, I think I was the only one that voted for it, was Tucson versus Airports. And then the Red Wolves versus the World. why did you choose Red Bulls versus the world? Like, why is that one of the options?
Maybe it's because of all of the living that I do on Twitter, but it just, a lot of times it feels like Chattanooga doesn't get a lot of love for a lot of these things.
Yeah.
The league put us here, created all sorts of controversy and blowback, and sometimes it doesn't feel to me like we get a whole lot of the support from the league that you see from a lot of other people. I mean, I guess if we found a little stuffed Red Wolf and we did a couple funny things on Twitter, then everyone would think we're the greatest thing ever. I understand them trying to pick up a rivalry between Madison and Lansing, two states that neighbor each other, that there already is, you know, some kind of rivalry through, and they're pretty close to each other. What I would love to see between the supporter groups in Greenville, Reed River Riot, with the Alphas, with Tormenta, if and when they have a supporter group, is to have some kind of a tri-state tournament. I joked with you about calling it the Tri-Wizard Tournament, but seriously, to have we're 4 hours away from both Greenville and from Statesboro. So I see kind of a three-way, and Richmond is not a whole lot farther. It's maybe about an 8-hour drive. But even a southern cup from USL League One with those local teams to try to build a rivalry, something that has a cup aligned with it, sort of like the Cascadia Cup that you see in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, and I think you're going to see the forced rivalry is my issue. Like I just don't think it happens naturally on the field. That's what builds the rivalries. We've talked about this between you and I. Like,
yeah,
like. Other sport. I'm a Clippers fan, right? Well, we like to claim that we have a rivalry with the Lakers. We don't have a rivalry with the Lakers because we never win championships, right? And they claim that they win like a billion. And according to the Raptors, it seems like they do. But without having it on the field, it's pointless, right? So if it turns out that Madison is really, really good and Lansing's really, really terrible, it's not going to be a rivalry. It's just going to be two groups playing each other and getting destroyed. If we're really good and Greenville's really good and Tormenta's terrible, the rivalry would probably end up being between us and Greenville. If we're terrible and the other two are great, then we're left out of the boat. I don't think it happens because they want it to happen. Also, we're 10 teams in. The plan is to get to 40 by 2026. I feel like the rivalries are going to probably build because you're going to have some closer teams. Here where we're at, there's, you know, Nashville's going to have an MLS team. Atlanta has an MLS team. Birmingham has a USL championship team. Knoxville doesn't have anything right now. Knoxville doesn't have its NPSL team anymore. Asheville has an NPSL team. There's a lot of areas in the South where you could still see another USL League One team come into existence. And those are more likely to end up being our rivals, I think. Whether it's in Huntsville, whether it's in Knoxville, Asheville, I'm sure that all the people who hear that are NPSL fans are going to freak out, but doesn't mean that it can't be the Asheville team that currently is there moving there. They didn't join the NPSL Pro. So, yeah, just saying, there's a lot of opportunity for there to be other rivals for all these teams.
It's a little like how Richmond is not necessarily their, you know, they could have a pretty close rivalry with Penn FC in Philadelphia that's supposed to be joining the league in 2020. But here again, a lot of it's forced. If the games are not close, if it's a hammer versus a nail, then you're not going to have a very intense rivalry. And it's very possible that we could go play a game in Tucson and some kind of cheap shot happens that gets everyone riled up, and all of a sudden there's a fairly heated rivalry.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is correct. I mean, Statesboro is closest to Greenville. I mean, I'll give him that. I think you're right. I think it comes on the field is where we're going to see that rivalry build up. So, all right. So switching gears yet again, a couple of announcements that were made by the Red Wolves this last week. Probably the biggest announcement and one that's been in the works for quite some time. And those of us that are a bit of nerds when it comes to trying to figure things out, I've known this is coming, but they've announced a training facility and training facility stadium, not their soccer specific stadium, to be built in East Ridge.
Of course, everything looks awesome when it's an artist rendering, but having a turf field there in an area where it very easily gets soggy when it rains a couple drops, that is Eastridge. The stadium that they're refurbishing to turn into their training stadium, emphasis on training stadium, that's going to be there is going to be a really cool place for the community, for them to have youth tournaments and things like that. That's going to be an awesome resource for the community to use. It really means a lot for Bob Martino to come in and to really drop that kind of money. It's a significant investment that's going to help grow soccer in this whole area.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the, if you watch the original video from December, that you can go onto East Ridge City Council's YouTube page and find it. But he talks about it and gives an estimate of $1.5 to $2 million investment of his money. So it's not like he's asking the city of East Ridge to pony up anything. He's putting that's a significant amount of money. We talked about this last time, but I think it needs to kind of be stressed. Like, that's a big investment. And the question then becomes, do they create their own academy? So they had approached CFCA, which is the youth academy here in Chattanooga that is branded with CFC's information. They are not owned by CFC. They are an independent academy that was started by a group of like-minded people who wanted to see a unified academy in the Chattanooga area. They were approached them along with CFC to who's going to be the next, you know, sponsor that has the name bearing. And ultimately CFC is keeping that. I think it was a 5-4 was the actual final vote, no matter what others have said. So ultimately they didn't get that route. So do you think the Red Wolves are going to build their own?
I think when you look at USL's stated goal of path to pro, that they really are going to start their own academy at some point. I'm not sure exactly how far down it's going to go. I think some other podcasts that I've listened to recently talking about kind of the state of youth soccer have talked about getting really starting at about the U14 level and working your way up with most of these youth academies. Some of them went as far down as a U12, but a lot of them are starting to move away from that of just, you know, 10 and 11 year olds. You're really not sure where they're going to go. It's not time to start investing in that sort of thing. I think it's smart, the partnership that you'll see the Red Wolves have with a lot of the local youth recreations, something that we'll talk about in the upcoming interview with Terry Lee, the community director. It's important to have that work as a feeder system. They're going to be involved. They're going to have players coming to work with all of the youth players, and they're going to be able to identify some of that talent so that when they get to that U12 level, they can have serious conversations of, we really want to see this person come to our academy. We're going to work with them. We're going to help them remain college eligible so that they have an opportunity if the professional option isn't there. And it's going to be a good thing for the community. And it's going to help them build some homegrown talent that we're going to be able to see on the field. It's an awesome experienced roster they've brought in. But it would be really cool eventually to start to see people who are homegrown talent from Chattanooga work their way through the Red Wolves Academy, went to Dalton Red Wolves and got themselves seasoned and are going to come on the field with the Red Wolves.
And I think you kind of hit something that I think is important is, when we've talked about the various recreation leagues there, they've reached kind of past just right heart of Chattanooga. Like they've got Ridgeland, which they've got East Ridge, they've got Readout. So Readout's in Chattanooga. East Ridge is obviously East Ridge, which is right on the edge of Chattanooga. Ridgeland's down in North Georgia. And they also have Cleveland. And then you have the Dalton Red Wolves. So they're spread out. Like they're not just trying to pull from one little area, which is, I think, very important to kind of keep in mind. The other part of it is, and I think you're right, I think you're going to look at them building it in that manner. If you look at the proposal they provided, it talked about under, you know, U14 and up as having their locker rooms and their areas there at the training facility. So I think that's been their plan from day one. I think that said, their plan was to hopefully be able to bring in CFCA under that umbrella. I think that's obvious. Well, why else would they have gone to CFCA if that wasn't part of it? Because it is an existing and the argument could be made whether or not there's enough talent to build both. I've talked to people that are involved with multiple recreation leagues, and they've said, you know, some have stated that they don't think there's enough. Some have stated they think that there's untapped people that aren't, maybe don't have the funds to be part of CFCA that are there. So there is an opportunity, but it's really important how they go about it. Is it, do they make it accessible to people that may not have the income capacity?
Yeah, that's a very important piece, and it'll be interesting to see how they approach that.
The ultimate thing comes down to, you know, how well do they do in the community? How well do they put their focus into growing youth soccer in Chattanooga, whether it's parallel to CFCA as a competition to CFCA, or if ultimately they are able to work together to build a greater situation for all of Chattanooga. I mean, I think that's ultimately what any fan, whether a CFC fan or a Red Wolves fan, really wants, is to see, you know, growth here in Chattanooga. But that's yet to be seen, and hopefully, you know, in the coming years, it'll be all positive, and we won't be talking about this great soccer war and how it destroyed youth soccer, ultimately in the city. So that brings us to the end of part one. The next part, we're actually splitting this into three parts for this podcast today. So part one was us talking a little bit about Red Wolves and League One and such. And the next part, we had an opportunity to interview Terry Lee, who is a part of the front office there with the Red Wolves. And then in the final section that we'll have after that Terry Lee interview, we'll discuss some of the greater soccer world. So stick around for part two, and then after the interview, part three as well.
So we are here with Chattanooga Red Wolves Community Outreach Director Terry Lee. Did I get the title right for you, Terry?
Close. It's Director of Community Relations, but really it's the same thing.
How do you want to do this, Adam? We either need to make sure that this goes in the first 20 minutes so that she can listen to it, or do we need to put it at the end because then we'll make sure that she actually listens all the way through so she can hear her part.
Nice.
I'm just assuming she's just going to be in there fast forwarding until she hears herself, and then she'll back up to make sure that it came in, that we didn't splice it into where suddenly she's like making horrible statements about the community or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this is a family podcast, Terry, so try to keep the swearing to a minimum.
I'll do my best.
So jumping right in, Terry, can you give us an idea of what a typical day looks like for you with the Red Wolves?
Well, there is no typical day. I would say that there are lots of things that are continuously going on that, you know, I might have to drive a guy to Walmart to go get some groceries, or I might have to meet with, you know, one of the youth soccer organizations to plan out a coach's clinic. So every day is different.
So you brought up getting to do coaching clinics with different youth soccer organizations. Full disclosure, I am a commissioner of one of those youth soccer organizations that has the agreement with the Red Wolves. What is the plan that you guys have and what you're trying to achieve through those partnerships with the youth soccer in Chattanooga?
Yeah, so one thing that our team owner, Bob Martino, his first thing that he really wanted to emphasize with the Chattanooga Red Wolves was that it's a family fun organization that gives back to the community. And so we've partnered with Readout, Ridgeland, East Ridge, and Cleveland youth organizations and their rec leagues to help them, you know, monetarily as well as to do some clinics to coach their coaches, as well as help them with some player clinics as well. It's something that we're really excited to do. I know our guys are thrilled to be able to interact with the community and help grow the passion for the game.
So how often, you mentioned the players, and I know you guys put out a tweet today showing that Coach was with some people from Readout. How often are you going to be able to get involved with that throughout the season?
So we are committed to doing that every 2 weeks for all of the organizations that we're working with. Now that obviously stretches our coaches a little bit thin. So we're hoping to, you know, involve players, involve coaches from Dalton Red Wolves, Lady Red Wolves, Chattanooga Red Wolves, to help spread that love a little bit. But we're definitely committed to doing events every 2 weeks, for those organizations. Now we might have to combine, like for instance, we're going to combine Ridgeland and East Ridge, and try to do those together. Today we were at Readout, which is our very first one. And it was really awesome because we had about 30 coaches out there, as well as a, you know, several kids to demonstrate. But I think they got a lot of good learning out of that, and a lot of good interaction with our head coach, Tim Hankinson, as well as Colin Falvey was out there as well.
Did you uncover any talent that you guys are going to bring in as a trialist?
I was busy taking pictures and socializing, so you'd have to ask him that.
Okay.
When did you actually, let's give a little background if you don't mind, on yourself. Like, how did you get involved in soccer and specifically with the Red Wolves organization?
Yeah, so I'd never played soccer as, you know, as a youth growing up. I always ran track and loved to run. But my kids, both of my kids have played since they were 3 years old. Both of them started out at Readout, and I helped coach there as well, just because, you know, they love having their mom and dad out there. So both me and my husband both coached. And then as they kind of progressed and they got a little bit better, they got out of our skill set for coaching. And so they moved up into the travel teams and whatnot. And so, you know, I became their team manager or the team mom, so to speak, and helped with logistics and things like that. And it, you know, when you're in the community like that and you're helping organize youth athletics, it's so much fun, really. And, you know, it's not only fun for the kids, it's fun for the parents because you get to socialize with, you know, like-minded people that like to be active with their children and have fun things to do. And so when the announcement came out that we were going to have a professional team in Chattanooga, I jumped at that chance because, you know, to start something from scratch, to start a brand from scratch and help drive the passion for the game, you know, I just jumped at that and was so blessed and excited to start working for the Red Wolves. And Sean McDaniel and Bob Martino are great to work for.
What is your background that inspired you to want to work with community outreach?
Yeah, so it's funny. I've been in finance for a really long time, and that doesn't really typically relate to community outreach. But my previous employer was the city of Chattanooga. I worked for Mayor Burke and was the city treasurer. And the best part of my job was interacting with the community, interacting with the citizens, helping give back, educate people, and, you know, just making the connections. Prior to that, I worked at Unum for 17 years in finance. And just, I think what I find fun about any job that I've been in has been the networking piece of it. I love to talk. I like people. And so I think that it just kind of led in naturally to the community outreach perspective of my current job.
So speaking about the communities, for so far, every sponsor that has been announced has been local here to the Chattanooga area. Is that a focus of the Red Wolves themselves or just coincidence?
Oh, no, definitely a focus.
Has been local
so,
here to
and
the Chattanooga
that's
area.
Why
that
I love working where I do.
The Red Wolves themselves
is because we really want to build this community, build and invest in this community. It has been so awesome to see that we are focusing on local small businesses. Obviously, we're open to big businesses as well, but the community-minded businesses that we are sharing our brand with are strategic in nature. So we're really excited about that.
One of the other things that you did earlier this month was the Running with the Wolves trail run benefit the Nature local. Center and Arboretum, yeah. Which has two Red Wolves that they have that are endangered that they care for. What other opportunities are you seeing as a club to be invested in the community, either through the Nature Center or through other parts of the city?
So first I got to correct you. There's six Red Wolves.
Six of them.
Yes. So there's 240 in the world and we have six of them in Chattanooga. One of our missions is to bring awareness of that. You know, they were actually labeled as extinct in the wild in the 80s. And has been a concentrated effort to save that breed. And so they're primarily in sanctuaries now, but six of them are here in Chattanooga. So that has been my favorite thing that we've done so far is the 5K. My passion and growing up has been running. And so, you know, my husband and my daughter both ran in it and it was a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll bring a lot more awareness towards that organization. But other things that we've done, we've actually connected with Family Promise, which is an organization that helps homeless families within Chattanooga. That's been a forefront for us to help raise awareness about, you know, homelessness and how to assist those families. This organization has been pivotal in trying to help folks transition out of homelessness. And one thing that we've dedicated and committed to doing is that we're providing that organization 40 tickets per home game for those families to attend, because typically, you know, homeless families don't, obviously they're spending money on things that are necessities and they don't have the luxury to go to soccer games. So that's one thing that we've committed to do for them. Let's see, what else have we done? We've done some things with the zoo. We're also working with the schools, Hamilton County Schools. We did a mascot contest and are helping promote their art programs. And actually three children helped design our mascot, which will be forthcoming in the next couple of weeks. So that's really exciting. And there's a lot of other things that we've got planned out on the horizon that we'll be announcing in the next coming weeks.
All right, Terry, I got a couple of just kind of random questions that I'm looking forward to you telling me no comment or no, can't tell you yet. First one is there a plan on when we're going to hear about the location for the soccer stadium? If I don't ask that question, I'm going to get a hard time.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you where it's going to be. I don't even know where it's going to be. I know that, you know, that Bob has been looking at several parcels of land and just trying to make sure that he's got everything ironed out before we actually release any information. So I know originally the plan was supposed to be in February. We're hoping for March, but that could change just based on, you know, the wheeling and dealing. So, but you know, as soon as we can let you know, we'll let you know.
Next question. What's been the hardest part or the most surprising part for you in this new role?
Ooh, that's a hard question. I think the hardest part has been just navigating some of the challenges in the Chattanooga community as far as, you know, the direction that soccer fans want the game to go.
All right, last question. I promise you I'm not going to put you quite on the spot on this one as much, but how is your Albanian? Is it getting better?
Oh my gosh, I wish. You know, Vangel is awesome. He's really doing very well with his English. You know, he's got a little girl, 4-year-old, and his wife are here as well. And so they're all trying to learn the language, but Vangel, you know, has been doing a really great job at learning. You know, I walked him to the bank the other day to help him with the ATM machine. And we had a really good conversation. I didn't think we'd be saying two words really, but we had a good conversation. It was fantastic. So he's doing great.
I have a follow-up question. We want to be known as a podcast that's not going to pull any punches. So we're going to ask the hard hitting questions. Which child is your favorite?
My husband.
That's fair. That's fair.
I think my wife would agree that I'm a child, but I don't think she would call me the favorite. I'm just going to be honest there.
Definitely not. I am definitely not the favorite child.
Terry, I can't thank you enough for giving us some of your time to get a chance to hear about the things that the Red Bulls are doing in the community. And the access that you guys have given to fans from the very beginning has been excellent. So keep up that, because that's definitely impactful. That's what we hear the most from other fans is the thing that they've liked the most about the Red Wolves is how willing you guys have been to be involved with the community. So,
oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. And it's been a lot of fun, especially interacting with, you know, the supporters group and, you know, allowing them opportunities to, you know, meet with the players. And I know the players love it too.
So once again, that was Terry Lee, Director of Community Relations for the Red Wolves. Thank you, Terry, for your time.
All right, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Terry. I know we were very thankful for the time that she gave us. So I want to thank you, Terry, for giving us that time. And if you guys ever have any questions for us or want to have us ask questions of the Red Bulls front office, they are more than approachable. And I'm sure we'd be able to reach out to them to get some questions answered for you if you have any questions. So feel free to hit us up on Twitter, or you can reach out to me directly at adam@soccerchat.com to reach out to me directly if you have anything you want to ask that we can bring up to in the future interviews that we may or may not have with various members of the front office. So one thing that we wanted to talk about a little bit when it came to kind of overall observations, for the first time for me at least, I watched some USL games on ESPN+. I'd never personally watched much USL soccer. I'll just be honest with you, it wasn't a focus for me because I didn't have a dog in the hunt. How about yourself? Have you watched any before recently?
No, I've stumbled on a couple games by accident. I think I remember seeing parts of Cincinnati FC or FC Cincinnati. I always get it mixed up. FC Cincinnati against, I want to say it was the New York Red Bulls, is a U.S. Open Cup match.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's really about most of the exposure to USL Championship that I had, other than years ago going to a Portland Timbers friendly back when they used to be in the USL, or it may have still been called the A-League at that point.
Yeah, so I have my ESPN Plus subscription. I for whatever reason, just decided it was opening weekend for USL, and I thought I'd check out some games, and finally got my family in bed. We had a relatively late night, and so I started flipping through some ESPN Plus games. That I turned on was the San Antonio game, which was held in San Antonio. It was a sellout crowd, over 8,000 fans at their soccer-specific stadium, and I'll be honest with you, it was a beautiful setup. I really liked the quality of the announcing, the quality of the graphics they used for ESPN Plus. So my first impression was really, really strong. It went downhill from there.
My first impression was not really, really strong. I have a question. Is part of the league standards for USL Championship that you play in a minor league baseball stadium?
It's like they were all copying NYC FC. Like they all wanted to be stuck in Yankee Stadium where you don't have to go to the sides. It was not a good look. And half of the stadium,
ugly turf patches over the pitcher's mound and the infield dirt.
Yeah, it was not a good look. And then you see like the huge minor league baseball walls in the background with
gigantic, atrocious batter's eye.
Yeah. I know that Las Vegas is eventually going to be doing more work on their stadium, that the Las Vegas minor league baseball team has moved to a new stadium that is opening up this year. So I think they weren't able to do much work on it because they were still playing in it through September of last year.
That stadium legitimately looked like it was about 50 yards wide.
Yeah, it was a bad look. It didn't play well. And as a slower guy, I'd be happy to play in that type of field if I'm having to play in the outfield. But I think it just makes for ugly soccer. You end up with everyone kind of bunched in. Part of me wishes they were just playing like 7-on-7 so they actually fit the field. Yeah, it wasn't a good look. That said, what'd you think of the quality of play itself? Like, when you're watching that, did you see a difference between how much of a difference from MLS to USL do you see?
I felt like there was a pretty decent drop. It really depended on which game I was watching. There were some games where things looked pretty sharp and things were going well, and there were some others where things were incredibly sloppy. Some really bad tackles. passes not really being connected together, just the, you know, crazy swing and kick the ball up in the air and hope that it goes 30 yards the other direction. And then there were some other teams that looked like they were kind of on point. They had some good job. They did a good job connecting passes together, things like that. So it really depended on which game you were watching, which team.
So one of the things that I'd reached out to some people that are part of the Alphas, which is the supporter group for the Red Wolves, was for me to get invested in anything, I have to have a team. I don't know if it just comes from the years of always being a diehard for one team, but I find that, you know, for years I would just try to watch Premier League games and I didn't really have a team. And then finally I kind of latched on to a team and it became much more interesting to me. And so I reached out and said, hey, who are you guys going to look at locally? I can't get into Atlanta United and Atlanta United 2, mainly because I'm not a huge Atlanta United fan. Like, their fans just kind of turn me off. So I don't really want to be involved with anything associated with them. I know that won't be popular with a lot of people within the Alphas that are also
Atlanta United fans. Please keep listening to Soccer Chat.
Yeah,
don't turn away. We love you, Soccer Chat listeners.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they end up being long-term fans, but that's not my history with Atlanta fans. They're very fair-weathered, so... I guess we're going to find out pretty quick here about how poorly they're playing to start the season off. But anyways.
Fire DeBoer. Fire DeBoer now.
Birmingham's close by. Nashville's going to become an MLS team, so they're not really a choice. So part of me is thinking maybe I start watching some of the Birmingham stuff. But I don't know. I need a team to follow. I need some choices on that. I don't necessarily want it to be a two team, so... I really like San Antonio's vibe. I like their setup. That was pretty nice. I liked really the way that they were playing as well. I thought that they looked pretty sharp. So
yeah.
I like Eric Winalda. I like his bluntness and his style. So part of me also likes the idea of having Vegas as my team. It doesn't hurt, as that's not a bad place to go donate money. So... Anyway, so I don't know. That's my thing. I do want to say, you know, I would rather be in a high school stadium than be watching a game in a minor league baseball team. That's my two cents.
You ready for my hot take?
Sure.
So I was talking about this with my wife today. We've been out running errands all weekend. So I got home Saturday from being out all day. And I don't have a problem just like, oh, look, sports are on. And I just turn it on and I watch it. So I had a blast jumping from game to game last night on the USL West Coast After Dark. It was just awesome. I got to see El Paso, OKC Energy, Sacramento, and Real Monarchs. I got to see Colorado Switchbacks and Los Angeles Galaxy for 3 seconds. I can't remember all the rest of them. I got home from watching the preseason match on Friday and watched a little bit of Tacoma Defiance and Rio Grande Valley Toros FC United. They had a bunch of names. I can't remember all of them. And that was the one that really set me off on the wrong foot. Like, a lot of these stadiums that are the soccer setups that are in a baseball stadium, they usually pick a baseline. And that makes the sideline, right?
Yeah.
So you're either going like a goal line is on the third baseline. One of the other lines is on the first baseline. Everything is square. The Portland Timbers, Providence Park in Portland, that used to be their baseball stadium. When you watch, one of the goals that they have is on the third baseline. The other goal is what was right field. When the camera on the TV is on, what you're looking across and seeing is what used to be left field and center field. So it's set. It's square. They did a whole bunch of work to make it not look like it was ever a baseball stadium, much to my father's chagrin. But the Tacoma one was off center. It was like kind of on the third baseline, but kind of going towards right center. And it made everything look terrible.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see that one. I'll have to keep my eye out for it. All right, so continuing to switch things up here, we're coming up on the men's national team's friendlies to prepare for the Gold Cup. what are you thinking we're going to be looking at here? Are we going to be looking at a really strong lineup for this setting, or do you think we're going to end up pulling similar players as that we had for the last set of friendlies?
I had heard reports that a couple weeks ago, U.S. men's national team coaches took a trip to Europe to do some scouting. I believe these matches are going to be on a international break. So I think we have an opportunity for them to pull in the best players and get an idea of what's going to work for them going into the Gold Cup in June. So I'm really excited, hoping to see them call in Christian Pulisic, call in Weston McKennie, who's been getting a lot of run with Schalke. Also call in Tyler Adams, I believe.
It's Tyler.
As well. And even John Brooks. I'm still a John Brooks fan. I'm in your corner, John Brooks. Come on the pod sometime.
So, what about your spirit animal? You didn't even mention Wei this time.
I just figured that was a given.
So, I think you're right. I would also assume that you're going to see Yedlin. You're going to see Wood. You're going to see Long. I think you're going to see a lot of the players that we're going to see for the Gold Cup. Like, I think you're going to see a powerful lineup. And I think we're going to get an idea of how strong they're going to be coming up in the Gold Cup, because I think the competition we'll be playing against will also have their stronger teams. So I'm very excited for that. I think that's gonna be a real good insight into the type of team that Berhalter has and how he's going to run. Is he going to run it through the defense? Is he going to run it like it seemed like he was, where it's very much a fluid, flowing game as opposed to a hold-up game, which is kind of what we were known for in the past, was that kind of holding of the ball as opposed to the fluid game that I think he's going to be going after. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be good. These are two teams that I believe the U.S. at their full strength should be able to beat. I don't think it's a given, but I think it would be really disappointing if they were to lose both of these matches.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I think Chile can be stronger than you expect. Ecuador, yeah, I agree that they should beat them. But yeah, you're going to see a significant amount of those European-based players that are going to be both there for the men's national team for the U.S. as well as for Ecuador and Chile. So yeah, it'll be good to see.
So anyways, before we end, do you have anything else you were wanting to talk about?
The last thing that I wanted to try to talk about was this amazing work of art. Did you see this on the internet? The most amazing thing in uniform design the world has ever seen. It's not just a shirt, Adam. It makes a statement about what all professional soccer in America should be and should aspire to be.
They should have tiny little flamingos. That's my understanding. Is that right?
Apparently.
I personally wasn't that impressed by it. Like, I'm not a big fan of the Boy Scout sash on my jerseys. It's not a thing I go for.
I kind of like the sash, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, no, I don't care for that. Like, it seems like it's from like a bad like military movie look, or your Girl Scout that sold the most cookies gets to wear the pink flamingo shirt. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it. I know that won't be popular, but I don't know. There was some rankings done on the four that have been released, Madison, Greenville, Richmond, and ours. Basically, ours and Greenville are the same with different color schemes. So.
Thank you. That's something that I wanted to bring up. There's a whole bunch of people that are like putting, of course, there's only four that you're ranking, but there's a whole bunch of people that have put Greenville second and Chattanooga fourth. They're literally the same jersey. Just one has an Adidas logo and the other has a Nike logo.
Yeah, there's no difference. Like, if you change the colors, if you give us the green and blue and you give them the cinnamon and red, you wouldn't be able to tell whose jersey is whose. So no, I personally think, that said, I would probably put Richmond above either of those. I think Richmond's jersey is actually pretty nice.
I think Richmond's is the best.
Yeah.
They look like they could be a Bundesliga team.
Yeah, I like their jersey. And I think I really do like the Madison away goalkeeper's jersey. Like, that's where you use your flamingos, in my opinion, and they did a good job on that. Apparently, the away main away jersey also has little tiny flamingos in it, which is fine, whatever. I'm almost already over their flamingo stuff, so
I'm very over the flamingo stuff. A lot of people gave Chattanooga a hard time when they went with their jersey. It's a very simple, basic design. And here's the thing. Yet again, you know, they were set up in almost a no-win situation. If they took a big swing on some kind of wild design with a, you know, a wolf howling at the moon imprinted on the side of the jersey or something like that, they were going to get killed over it.
Yeah.
So they go just as basic as they can, and they still get killed. It's a no-win situation. The opposite is the same way. No matter how ugly that jersey was, everyone was going to talk about how amazing it was because everybody loves that flamingo. Well, and I don't want to get too salty and have everyone think I'm just completely hating on Madison, but like, I get it. The flamingo was clever. Let's play some soccer.
Well, and the other thing is, like, they put like the symbol, like the actual crest, like halfway down the jersey on the left side.
Right.
I know that it's not the most common thing, but I'm a fan of the tucked in jersey. So that's impossible for them to really do with that without it looking odd. So
you just like him when they score a touchdown to hand the ball to the referee too, don't you?
Yeah. Act like you've been there before. Just saying.
All this slam dunking, chest thumping. Act like you've been there before.
Well, you know what? I do enjoy a goal celebration, and that's when you can untuck the jersey. Fine.
I have nothing else fun to add.
Well, once again, I want to thank you guys for listening to the podcast today. That is going to wrap it up for us. If you get a chance, check us out on iTunes, Spotify, and then you can also listen to us on BGN.FM, as well as to other podcasts that are focused on lower division soccer, MLS, and the Premier League. That's it for us. Have a great day.
Hey, don't forget to hit us up on @soccerchat with 2 T's on Twitter.
See ya.
Okay, we've stopped recording now. So really, where's the stadium going to be?
I wish I knew, man. I don't. I have no idea.